the theme chosen for today's Mass, when we set up the schedule for the year, is a call to be courageous witnesses for Jesus. I think at the time we were aware that things were loosening up a little bit, and the men's choir started to practice again. So the young men were coming here, and with our music director, they had songs all chosen and had already practiced some of the songs for this Mass. And then we went back into the lockdown and we couldn't even practice. So the music director set up a virtual rehearsal so that the young men could practice the songs for today's Mass. And they had a virtual rehearsal a couple of weeks ago, but then it was clear the lockdown was going to be even more severe and we couldn't have a public Mass today. So there's only, what, 6 people here. but there might be more people joining us online. I have no idea how many of you are here online, but there might be more people online than there would be if we had a public Mass. So the theme still applies, the call to be courageous witnesses for Jesus. This is an Easter message. We're in the Easter octave. We are absorbing and being challenged by the fact of the resurrection. The call to be courageous witnesses for Jesus starts with the faith that Jesus is risen, and that he, the risen Christ, is the one who sends us out to proclaim the gospel to every creature. So the call is very clear in today's gospel, the last line of today's gospel. How it's carried out is revealed in a beautiful way in today's first reading. So this theme connects both the gospel, is connected to both the gospel and the first reading. Let's start with this gospel. This is at the end of Mark's account. Mark's gospel, most scholars think, is the earliest of the gospels written. And he gives a very thorough account of the passion. But when it comes to the resurrection, he says almost nothing at all. And here he gives a quick summary of the first three resurrection appearances, first to Mary Magdalene, then to the 2 disciples on the way to Emmaus, and then finally to the 11 apostles. He doesn't give many details, but what's clear is that the apostles did not believe Mary Magdalene, and they did not believe the 2 disciples who came running back from Emmaus. So when Jesus appeared to them, the first thing he said to them was not "peace be with you" in this gospel. The first thing is to rebuke them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. So this is a different version of the resurrection experience. It's a good thing to reflect on. What it reminds us of is how difficult it is to believe in the resurrection. Now, we who have grown up in a Christian culture and Christian families, we've known that Jesus rose from the dead since we were 2 years old. I mean, we've always heard that. We just take it for granted. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again on the 3rd day. It's in the creed. We say it all the time. We don't really think about it being hard because it's just part of what we believe. But it was not like that for the apostles, and this is very striking. The apostles who knew Jesus, who lived with him three years, who heard him say again and again he would die and rise again, these very apostles, when they actually received the first announcement that it happened, they don't believe it. They don't believe Mary Magdalene. Mark's gospel connects Mary Magdalene to her being possessed by 7 demons. Maybe they didn't trust her, because before she had 7 demons, maybe they think, oh, there's something wrong with her. They don't accept the message, perhaps because they reject the messenger. Then along come 2 of their own companions. They weren't among the 12, but they were disciples of Jesus Christ. And there were 2 of them. you know, what the scriptures say, where two or three testify, you can believe their testimony. It wasn't just one woman who's had problems with demons. This is two men, and they both testify that they have seen the risen Lord. They don't believe them either. It's hard for them to believe the good news. If it's hard for them to believe it, and you think they would be the first ones to believe, well, we can understand why it's hard for anybody. Jesus appears to them. He's relentless in making it clear that he's really alive. Now, we've seen this all week. He eats with them. He shows them his wounds. He rebukes them. But after all that, after it's very clear that they are slow to believe, they're hard of heart, they don't believe the witnesses, after all of these disqualifying facts, he sends them out anyway. Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Isn't it striking that the very ones who didn't believe are the ones who are sent out? The very ones who are not qualified because they ran away from Jesus during the Passion and they didn't believe the first messengers of the resurrection, they're the ones sent out as witnesses. They are called to be courageous witnesses for Jesus. I think one of the things we can take from this is we have to distinguish between the messengers and the message. The messengers can be weak, they can be unqualified, they can have their own faults, but the message is absolutely reliable. It is much more powerful than those who convey it. In fact, it's unstoppable, the gospel. Which takes us to the first reading, Peter and John. Those who didn't believe Mary Magdalene in the beginning, but Peter and John, who ran to the tomb and saw that it was empty, but then still didn't believe Mary Magdalene when she said he rose. Peter and John, now this is after Pentecost and after they have transcended their natural doubts and hardness of heart, here they are testifying before the leaders, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, including Caiaphas and Annas. The witnesses have a combination of boldness and ordinariness. They're very courageous in their proclamation of the gospel of the resurrection, and they're very ordinary provincial fishermen. And this is what bewilders the leaders. They see these men acting like they're authorities on a major religious question about the resurrection. They're standing up and proclaiming right in the temple area the resurrection. And yet they are uneducated, ordinary men. So it leaves the leaders amazed. They can't figure it out. These men are courageous witnesses for Jesus. It says here they were bold. Now, when we first drafted the themes for the thematic masses, the first version was a call to be bold witnesses for Jesus. And then I asked, well, the word bold in the Philippines has another connotation. You know, like a bold star or a bold movie. So I said, well, maybe we should have used the word bold because it seems to imply immorality or something. So that's why we changed it to courageous. But you see the point. The witnesses are very strong in their declaration. They're willing to walk right into danger, right? They're not intimidated by the authorities or by suffering or by jail. Those who have worldly power or power within the temple say, well, this is too much. We can't let this happen anymore. So they declare to the apostles, don't speak in that man's name anymore. Stop this business. You have no right, you have no authority, you have no qualifications, so just stop this. Giving us the impression that perhaps if they had been more qualified, if they hadn't been ordinary uneducated fishermen, then the leaders might have given them a more sympathetic hearing. That's what it seems like. But remember the experience of St. Paul. St. Paul was qualified. He was a Pharisee. He was well trained by one of the leading experts among the Pharisees, Gamaliel. He was a Jew of the highest pedigree, and also a Roman citizen, an educated man. Did they believe Paul? No. No. So even a highly qualified expert in the law, they didn't believe him either. So again, I want to distinguish between the messenger and the message. The message requires messengers. That's why we are all sent forth as courageous witnesses. But the qualifications of the messenger are not what convinces people. It's the message itself. It's the power of the gospel itself. Now, part of the reason why I'm stressing this is because this call is addressed to us too, and we tend to have, every one of us tends to have this reaction. Well, I'm not really qualified. I'm not really good at this. I'm not sure that I should be the one to stand up as a courageous witness for Jesus. Maybe somebody else should do it. That's a very common excuse not to be a courageous witness. The scriptures make it clear that has nothing to do with it. Our being unqualified has nothing to do with it. The apostles were unqualified. They were hard of heart and doubting, and they had to be rebuked, corrected. Mary Magdalene was unqualified. The two disciples were unqualified. Peter and John were unqualified. Paul was unqualified. Paul himself says, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I'm not worthy. It doesn't matter that he wasn't worthy to be an apostle. God called him, gave him the mission, they had to go. And here, God calls the 12 or the 11, and he says, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. The strength of the witness comes from the gospel itself, comes from the one who sends us, not from us. Called to be courageous witnesses for Jesus. How can we be courageous witnesses for Jesus? We can barely tolerate the hardships of the day. We think that this pandemic is the worst thing that ever happened. We think it's terrible when people don't like us. We complain when there's no water, whatever. We're not very courageous. How can the gospel be proclaimed by people who are as weak and unqualified as we are? It's because the gospel itself has its own momentum. Imagine, the apostles were all martyred, except for John. Try to stop the gospel, this is what the world always does. You try to stop the message, stop the messengers, kill them all. That doesn't work. It's happening even in our own times. You know, there are many, many martyrs for the gospel. Is that stopping the church? No. Stops the messengers. It doesn't stop the message. So there's no reason for us not to be courageous witnesses for Jesus. There's no excuse not to be courageous witnesses for Jesus, because this plan and this message comes from God. The resurrection is hard for us to believe. It does. We could never have made this up. And there's no way we can convince anybody of it. We are simply instruments. And the greatness of it and the power of it comes from God. So that's who we put our trust in, not ourselves, not our qualifications. The call to be courageous witnesses for Jesus is given to each of us, and each of us, if we're going to be true to the Easter event, and true to our Easter faith, we have to accept this call without being intimidated. Let us be not only courageous witnesses, let us be joyful, willing, selfless witnesses for Jesus Christ.